Will you bow with me as we pray? Holy God, we give you thanks this day as we gather together for the opportunity to worship, to seek out and get a glimpse of your greatness. So may your greatness continue to be revealed and made known to us by the work and the movement of your Spirit. And as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've been working through the last couple of weeks through this series of Job. Not necessarily an easy book to tackle, and we can be thankful that it was only 4 weeks instead of going through chapter by chapter for all 42 of them, because it probably would have gotten depressing if we'd had to walk with Job and particularly hear from all of those friends and the bad advice they were giving him. But just as a review or bring us all up to speed, we started out with that idea of Job feeling disoriented. What's happening? What's going on? Why are bad things happening to me? Because from Job's perspective, he was a good guy and he hadn't done anything wrong. And then that sense of feeling deserted, abandoned, and alone. And last week, Pastor Jen talked us through what happened when God did speak and respond and Job was silenced. And so today, we end on that happily ever after note that we like all stories to end with, where Job is restored. But what exactly does that mean? What does that look like in the context of this story? If you'll remember, we started this story out talking about that whether Job was a real person or if this was an extended parable like Jesus taught, it was challenging and confronting an understanding of the world. That formulaic if-then causal world that if God is good, and if I'm good, then I'll have a good life, and I'll have a good family, and I'll have a good life with a lot of possessions. Job lived in a world where he and his friends thought that was how things worked. God was good, Job was good, Job had a good life, Job was blessed, and suddenly all of that fell apart after this conversation that the Satan had with God about, what about Job? He is only faithful because you've given him a good life and a lot of stuff. And Satan challenged God and said, take all that away from him and he'll surely curse your name. And tragedy befalls Job. But Job continues to be faithful. He wrestles with why this is happening. It's not making sense to him. And the Satan came back and challenged God again and said, well, you know what? He still has his health. Take that away, and then he surely will. So chapter 42 brings us full circle. Job's been through all of these ordeals, all of these terrible things. He lost his possessions. He lost his children. He'd suffered physically. His friends came and tried to comfort him, but ended up giving him bad advice that simply reinforced this worldview that if you're a good person, good things will happen, and because bad things are happening, surely you've done something wrong. And Job is persistent in feeling like, I know I've not sinned. I know I've not done anything wrong. But he's frustrated. We heard Job at one point saying, I've got a piece of my mind I need to share with God. He is going to hear me out. But God showed up and God reminded Job who God was. And he asked Job those questions of, were you there when I did this? Can you command these things to happen? And they do. And so in 42, finally, verse 1, then Job answered God. The first thing that we need to see in this is that the Satan was wrong. Even given this face-to-face audience with God and given the opportunity to speak, after everything he's been through and everything that he's been frustrated by, when he's face-to-face with God, Job does not curse God. But yet Job is changed. Job's answer to God is one of humility. He says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And then Job quotes back to God some of the questions that God put to Job. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? And Job makes his confession of where he went wrong. He said, therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. And again, he responds with one of God's questions that he put before Job. Hear and I will speak. I will answer you and you will declare to me. Job says, I heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ash. Now, even in this conclusion of this story, is it perfectly clear? Do we have that one right answer? Does this solve all of the wrestling that we've had throughout the past couple weeks? If anyone says yes, I'll gladly give you my microphone. Because this is one of those stories where we don't get a firm, definitive, one right answer to the problem that we've been wrestling with. The problem that Job's been wrestling with is the problem that we wrestle with too. Why? How do we make sense when the world around us becomes incredibly chaotic and at times even hurtful? We look for an answer. We want a right answer. We want a simple answer. And the thing is, those formulaic if-then things lead us to simple answers. If you do this and if you do this, here's the outcome. If God is good and if I am good, and then I will have a good life and a good family and lots of things. The problem is that when things downstream get disrupted, we try to follow that chain of sequence back to where we started. Well, life's not going very good. My family's got some issues. Bad things are happening to us. Financially, we're struggling. Yeah, I still feel like I'm a good person, but does this mean God's not good anymore? But that it doesn't work that way. That's the problem with looking for that simple answer. Job was still looking for that simple answer. Job was still trying to make sense with that formulaic world understanding of why are bad things happening? Because if I follow this equation, I've done what I should, and this should be the outcome. But it hasn't been. Because the outcome I'm seeing is if you go this other way, and if you're a bad person, then these things happen to you. But it's happening to me. God's response to Job could be summarized pretty concisely, I think, if God had simply looked at Job and said, Job, I'm God, you're not. But it doesn't work that easy for us. We like a little more of an answer. So God spends a little time building his case about who God is. In all those questions that he walks Job through, were you there? Can you do this? Do you know where all of these things happen? The sun rises and sets every day. This world is ordered and organized and under my authority and my control. What God was trying to help Job understand was that God's goodness isn't dependent upon our goodness. That God being good doesn't change because of our circumstances or our situations. Our perception of God, as it happened for Job, might change about God, but God's goodness does not. God is still God, no matter what. For Job, he was still trying to make sense of what was going on. And we do too. We still have those questions about why. Why does somebody walk into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and murder 11 people because they're angry and disagree? Why do we hear about school shootings? Why are children growing up in homes where their parents are addicted to drugs? And the list could go on and on and on with all of these questions that we ask why to. So where does the restoration come? Where do we see the world set right? Where do we see the world making sense to us in a way that we think it should make sense? That word restored is used in the passage that we heard read this morning. Chapter 42, verse 10. It says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And we're told that he has all the more livestock, and he has a new family and new children." And we should end our story with saying, "And they all lived happily ever after." But that's not what the story is about. Because if that is truly the purpose of the story, that Job endured and withstood and made it through all of this so God could simply give back what he had and all the more, then we've wasted our time reading this entire story. Because if you remember, we challenged that notion of God blessing the righteous and good simply because they're good. The material possessions, the wealth, the comfort, the things that we would point to and say that's a good life, that wasn't the point of this story. There was something else that was restored in Job. There was something else that happened when he was a changed man because of how he came to understand who God was. It was something that is intangible. It's something that we can't quite put our finger on. We could say it's faith. We could say it's his relationship with God, but it's all of that wrapped up with something else in it. There was a contentment, I think, that Job discovered coming out of this experience. A peace that he learned and discovered when he began to understand and see a little more clearly who God truly was. Reminds me of that scene in The Wizard of Oz, of Dorothy waking up in Oz, where the movie goes from being black and white to being bright, vivid colors. I can get that word out. Dorothy's perception of the world, yes, she had changed locations, but her perception of the world was suddenly different, and she was seeing things new and differently. And I think for Job, he saw the world and God in a different way, in a different light, more technicolor than it had been. He began to understand more deeply who God was. And he suddenly was able to see that the things that he thought made for a good life weren't the foundation, that God was the foundation. You see, I think that the transformation that happened for Job was one that even if the story had ended at verse 6 that we read, where Job said, "My eyes see you, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." If the story had ended there and we'd not heard about him gaining all these flocks and having more children and living to a ripe old age and dying happily ever after, even if that had not happened, I think Job would have experienced the change. I think Job would have seen God differently and for who God was. Because Job no longer seemed to be quite as anxious, as nervous. I think he was a little more at peace. In those early chapters, you may have remembered, it talked about Job having all of these property, all of this wealth, all of this livestock, and these kids that threw these great parties, and we're told that Job would often offer sacrifices and prayers for them just in case they'd done anything wrong. Job was still trying to be in control. Job lost control and emerged from his situation not needing to be in control because he knew that God was. So what does that mean for us? How can we learn from this story of Job in a way that helps us to face mass shootings and addictions and brokenness and hurt and pain in this life when we see it around us and when we experience it firsthand? We saw Job's friends pull back from him when bad things happened to him, thinking, "Whew, I don't know what he did, but I don't want it to rub off on me." We think about, and we're aware of these shootings that happen in the world around us. We're aware of the violence and the brokenness, and we know it's out there, and hopefully it stays at arm's length, because we don't want that to come home and affect us directly. There's no guarantee that it won't. And unfortunately for some people, you could hear this message of Job and become very fatalistic of, man, rotten stuff happens, and we just have to suck it up and take it. But I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that God is a good God. That God's blessings aren't intended just so you or I can live a good and comfortable and happy life. God is the God of creation. And God's plan encompasses all of creation and all of people. And God's plan is bigger than what I'm experiencing at this particular moment. And God's plan is bigger than if I'm happy or sad right now. And God's plan is bigger than if I'm hungry or well-fed, or if I have a roof over my head, or if I don't. And in losing that, God was able to reveal to Job who God was. And Job, I think, found some peace and comfort in that. And I think that is what was restored to Job. That he no longer was anxious and fearful about maybe losing everything. He no longer had his self-worth, his identity, his image wrapped up in all of those things that we point to as a good life. Because for Job, those things had become the foundation. And when Satan made this wager and this deal with God, it's almost like they started playing Jenga with Job's life. Satan said, well, what if we pull this piece out? Will things come tumbling down? Well, what if we pull this piece out? Will the things in life, Job's life come tumbling down? But the thing that Satan hadn't considered was that you can never take God out from under any of us. So may we in our lives experience some restoration, that we might be restored to having the foundation of our life be a foundation that cannot be shaken, that will not be moved. May the foundation of our life then be the foundation of God, who created and ordered all things. The God who sustains and maintains this world we live in. This God who is good, who doesn't weigh goodness and badness over us to manipulate us, but a God whose blessings are poured out upon all people. May this God be the one to whom we are restored, that we might experience restoration ourselves. Amen.